used to have a Jufro. He was born and raised out in the town of LA. That's where he went to UCLA, got his MBA. Produced his first film at age 24. That's when he really started to score. Vice President of ABC.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. That is my son singing and doing my story in a rap that he did for me for this past Father's Day. It's kind of fun. Every time I listen to it, I kind of get into the beat and I forget that it's for me and about me. Anyway, it is time for Spiritual Rap with Pastor Drew Sams, who is a pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California, and he's been there for a long time. He's also the proud parent of baby Judah Andrew Sams, and I would like to start off with our health and welfare update on baby Judah Andrew. So, Pastor Drew, how is your son doing?
We're almost maybe at an age where we're going to have to transition away from calling him baby Judah to, like, big boy Judah. He's 18 months. He's going on 18 years old, it seems like. This kid is a little shoot. Getting taller and taller every day. Almost every word that we say now, he'll mimic. It's just crazy.
Richard, I think we need a new intro, and I'm suggesting maybe the theme from the Three Stooges or Little Rascals might be good. He's become a little rascal, huh?
Yeah, a little rascal. He totally is. He's bouncing off the walls in our home. It's so much fun. But, boy, we got to keep our eye on him. He'll get into everything, crawling up over stuff, and he's all boy.
That's very, very cool. So you are actually living what most parents live, which is you're seeing, when you say he's all boy, that this notion of raising a kid gender neutral is just BS. They are born with certain inherent traits that make them boys and make them girls and make us men and make us women. And God made us that way for a reason. Instead of trying to make us all the same, let's understand, celebrate, and learn from our differences, which is why a man and a woman coupled are often such a great combination, because we learn from each other's strengths and each other's weaknesses. Do you not agree?
Oh, 100%. And I agree primarily from what Scripture informs me about who we are, made in the image of God, and what it means to be male and what it means to be female. But also, I've just experienced that in life. And I know that, you know, there's broad kind of cultural definitions of what it means to be a man. There's broad cultural definitions of what it means to be a woman. Sometimes our culture, we kind of distort that, and, you know, we make men out to just be the machos, or, you know, never experiencing emotion, or you know, various things. But, you know, when you go to Scripture, I'd love to kind of orient us for a moment to...
Sure, please.
So there's a handful of creation accounts in Scripture. You know, it's one creation account, but a variety of perspectives on it, all looking at the same event. And one of them, in Genesis 2, I think is the best starting point for me to have discussions about. I'd love for us to interact around this, about what it means to be made both male and female. So there's this story that we get in Genesis 2, where we find that God creates this first human being, and God puts him in the garden, and he's working the garden, he's taking care of the garden. He says you can eat freely from any tree in the garden. So he's experiencing this relationship with God. And then in Genesis 2, verse 18, it says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone.'"
Mm-hmm.
And I find that so fascinating that here this first human is perfect in his relationship with God. He's thriving, and yet it's still not enough. And, you know, we often use that phrase that humans, we have a God-shaped hole in our heart. Well, very clearly here God says, you know what, we actually have a companion-shaped hole in our heart as well. Because he goes on in the rest of verse 18, he says, "I will make a suitable helper for him." So then he goes and looks at all the animals. None of them are suitable. None of the birds are suitable. None of the livestock. And says, and I love this, it says, "But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs," which is very important. That's out of the side. "And out of his side comes this woman." So there's this equality.
Wait. You've just absolutely got me transformed into this story. Why was the rib itself significant?
Well, okay, let's say if let's say a woman was created out of the foot of a man, you know, that really would imply that she's inferior to him, that he could just, you know, trample all over her, that, you know, the bottom of the body, you know, all the way down on the soles of the feet. Yet it's not the head of which God takes out and then creates a woman, that she would rule over him, but that side, it's alongside, it's kind of even under his arm, there's this even symbolic nature to what it means to be created equal, yet very different and distinct. And so as then that happens, now the man says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she should be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And so the point I want to make is that we were created in the image of God, but only when we, in relationship, both male and female together, do we most fully reflect and experience what it means to be made in the image of God, because we're made both male and female.
Wow, that is so powerful and so beautiful, and it obviously brilliantly ties into the thesis of my two columns, that while sometimes we are forced to stay single, and sometimes circumstances require it, it's almost a godly duty to try and pair up, and I think especially regarding parenting kids.
Yes, and I won't say that, you know, before someone gets married, that they're not reflecting what it means to be the image of God, made in the image of God, or if you're single, that you're not reflecting that. But it does say in verse 24 of Genesis 2.
I agree. I didn't mean to imply.
Yeah,
that.
I know that you didn't say that, but I could imagine the listeners raising that question. I want to be clear in that.
Thank you.
But in Genesis 2, chapter 20, verse 24, it says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And there's this beautiful image of two becoming one, reflecting all the way back to how that first woman came out of the side of the man, and how in my relationship with my wife, man, we're so different. And if I view my marriage as just her serving me, I'm missing the point. If I view my relationship with her as, you know, she's just an object to make my life better, I'm missing the point. But as we serve one another, as we bring who God created us to be to that relationship, and in our differences, it's kind of like two pieces of a puzzle coming together to create something so much bigger and beautiful than we could ever create on our own.
You know something, we're out of time. I got to say, you have just spoken so beautifully. Recently, I felt that connection with somebody close to me, and it's a special connection when you feel that. So I understand what you're saying, and I never thought of it as godly, per se, and yet you're really giving me a perspective that's so important. Where can our listeners find you, Pastor Drew?
Hey, I'm on all social networks, at Surfer Drew.
Very powerful segment. Thank you so much, Pastor Sams. And I'm going to listen to this again, because I want to absorb the wisdom that you shared with us today. Got to go to a break. Stay tuned for Therapy Talk with Dr. Jennifer Weberman.
Let me tell you a little story about a dude I know. His name is Bruce Allen. He used to have a Jew.